Did you know that healthy bone marrow can produce up to 500 billion blood cells every day? The human circulatory system is truly a bustling metropolis, where the bone marrow functions as the central control hub. Now, what happens when it all grinds to a halt? Today, our patient has pancytopenia, and you are the doctor. Welcome to The Intern at Work, a podcast written by medical residents, meant to serve you better on the wards and on call. Today's episode is titled, Marrow's Most Wanted, An Approach to Pancytopenia. In adults, hematopoiesis primarily occurs in the bone marrow at the lower skull, vertebrae, shoulder, pelvic girdles, ribs, and sternum. All blood cells originate from hematopoietic stem cells, which possess the ability to differentiate and self-replicate. They can evolve into common myeloid progenitors, which produce cell lines including thrombocytes, erythrocytes, and neutrophils. They can also develop into common lymphoid progenitors, which turn into natural killer cells or lymphocytes. In the bone marrow, hematopoietic stem cells spend a lot of time in a quiescent state, only to start dividing more frequently when there is an increased hematopoietic demand. This is a tightly controlled process through an array of stimulatory and inhibitory cytokines and other molecules, as both cytopenias and cytoses can cause serious consequences. Myeloid cell production is regulated by three important growth factors. Erythropoietin, EPO, is predominantly produced by the kidney and is critical for early erythroid progenitors. Thrombopoietin, or TPO, is primarily secreted by the liver and contributes to megakaryocyte and platelet production. Lastly, granulocyte colony stimulating factor, GCSF, is the growth factor for neutrophil progenitors and is secreted by cells such as macrophages or endothelial cells. It is also worth highlighting that while hematopoiesis typically occurs in the bone marrow, as mentioned earlier, in situations of great stress, it may even extend to the liver, spleen, or lymph nodes. This is called extramedullary hematopoiesis. Pancytopenia is characterized by decreased hemoglobin, platelets, and white blood cells, according to laboratory-specific reference ranges. It is not a standalone disease, but rather a manifestation of an underlying issue, of which there is a wide differential, affecting the bone marrow or peripheral cell lines. Pancytopenia can result from bone marrow infiltration or replacement, bone marrow aplasia, or cell destruction or sequestration. Bone marrow can be infiltrated by malignancy, such as leukemias, myeloproliferative neoplasms, myelodysplastic syndrome or metastatic cancer, infections, for example, fungal infections or tuberculosis, or storage diseases like Gaucher disease. Bone marrow aplasia may stem from high inflammatory states, such as with sepsis, or from immune destruction, such as an aplastic anemia, paroxysmal nocturnal hemoglobinuria, medications, autoimmune disorders, or hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis, nutritional deficiencies, for example, vitamin B12, folate, or copper deficiencies, viral infections, such as EBV, HIV, or parvovirus B19, or ineffective hematopoiesis. Additionally, blood cells may be destroyed in disseminated intravascular coagulation or sequestered in splenomegaly, such as in the context of severe cirrhosis. Less commonly, pancytopenia may be caused by congenital disorders, including Wiskott-Aldrich syndrome, Fanconi anemia, or Shuman-Diamond syndrome. Overall, pancytopenia may be, and often is, a combination of causes. In your assessment of pancytopenia, it is paramount to ensure that your patient is clinically stable, given the potential for life-threatening infections from neutropenia, bleeding from thrombocytopenia, as well as other severe complications, such as myocardial ischemia. Once your patient is stable, document a thorough past medical history, as many conditions can lead to cytopenias. Review your patient's medications, both prescribed and over-the-counter, looking for known culprits, which may include chemotherapeutic drugs, NSAIDs, anti-epileptic drugs, or antimicrobials. Ask about alcohol or drug consumption. Try to establish the acuity of pancytopenia and perform a broad review of symptoms. Assess for symptoms of recurrent severe or unusual infections due to leukopenia, fatigue or dyspnea due to anemia, and bruising or bleeding due to thrombocytopenia. Ask for constitutional symptoms and symptoms related to rheumatologic disorders. Explore recreational and occupational activities and travel history. On physical examination, look for stigmata of pancytopenia, including petechiae, purpura, oral thrush, or conjunctival pallor. In addition, examine for clues of the underlying etiology, like lymphadenopathy, splenomegaly, stigmata of chronic liver disease, rashes, or arthritis. Initial laboratory workup should include complete blood count with differential, coagulation studies, electrolytes, renal and liver function tests, lactate dehydrogenase, reticulocyte count, and a peripheral blood smear. The latter can reveal clues regarding potential etiologies such as hypochromia, clumping, dysplastic cells in MDS, hypersegmented neutrophils in vitamin B12 or folate deficiency, nucleated red blood cells or dacryocytes in primary myelofibrosis, circulating blasts in leukemia, or atypical lymphocytes in infectious mononucleosis. Further testing should be guided by clinical suspicion. It may include iron studies, hepatitis, HIV or other viral serologies, vitamin B12 levels, SPEP and autoimmune assays, such as Coombs test and other autoantibodies, as well as a workup for tumor lysis syndrome with calcium, phosphate, and uric acid, disseminated intravascular coagulation with fibrinogen and D-dimer, and hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis with ferritin, AST, and triglycerides. If the cause cannot be elicited, and depending upon the trajectory of pancytopenia, a bone marrow aspirate and biopsy should be considered. Imaging should also be guided by clinical suspicion. For example, abdominal imaging should be performed if cirrhosis is suspected, and a CT or PET scan should be requested if diffuse lymphadenopathy with malignant features, firm and fixed, is palpated. Treatment of pancytopenia is tailored to its underlying cause, emphasizing stabilization of the patient and treatment of emergencies as the first step. For example, disseminated intravascular coagulation may be treated with platelets, cryoprecipitate, or fibrinogen concentrate. Patients with acute promyelocytic leukemia should receive Al-trans retinoic acid and arsenic trioxide, and tumor lysis syndrome should be treated with fluids, electrolyte correction, and respiracase. Check out our other episodes for more details on these specific conditions. Corticosteroids and etoposide should be considered for hemophagocytic lymphohistiocytosis. If leukemia, lymphoma, or a metastatic solid tumor is suspected, perform investigations, such as biopsy, to guide appropriate therapy. When infectious, liver disease, or rheumatologic disorders are identified, ensure the appropriate targeted treatment is initiated. Correct nutritional deficiencies accordingly, and where possible, discontinue or decrease culprit medications. It is always best to involve your local hematologist-oncologist. Time for a medicine minute. Myelodysplastic syndrome, or MDS, a hematologic malignancy increasing in prevalence with age, may cause pancytopenia. High-risk MDS, as determined by scoring systems such as the IPSSR, which includes cell counts, blast count, and cytogenetics, is typically treated with hypomethylating agents, chemotherapy, and allogeneic stem cell transplant. Low-risk MDS with anemia may be treated with erythropoiesis-stimulating agents, supportive transfusions, and lenalidomide for DEL5Q cytogenetics. Luspatercept, a fusion protein that blocks the TGF-β superfamily of erythropoiesis inhibitors, was studied in a phase 3 trial for patients with very low to intermediate risk MDS with ring sideroblasts who were receiving blood transfusions. In the luspatercept group, 38% had transfusion independence for over 8 weeks compared to 13% in the placebo group. A preliminary result from the COMMANDS trial comparing luspatercept to erythropoiesis-stimulating agents in low-risk MDS demonstrated superior transfusion independence in the luspatercept group, suggesting that it may even become a standard of care over erythropoiesis-stimulating agents in low-risk MDS with ring sideroblasts. Thank you for listening to today's episode entitled Marrow's Most Wanted, An Approach to Pancytopenia. This episode was written by Gia Lee, or Lily Liu, internal medicine resident, and Dr. Owen Dan Lau, internal medicine resident, and reviewed by Dr. Laura Habib, hematology oncology, and Dr. Natasha Nathu, general internal medicine. The internet work was created by Allison Lai and co-developed by Zara Morali and Leah Karanopoulos. Music production by Laxman's Vantha Mohan. Thanks for tuning in. Please see our associated infographic on our website for more details, and we hope to see you again soon.